Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Joshua chapter 1, verse 11. Go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession. Somebody say possession. Take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Turn to the person on the right and tell him, give me my mountain. Turn to the person to the left and turn the volume up by 10 and tell them, give me my mountain. You may be seated. As I've been diving into the book of Joshua, one of my favorite books in the Bible, I'm encouraged by a couple of my peers, and not just peers, but great generals of faith. One of them, I believe, is 84 years old, and one of them is 86 years old. The 84-year-old is traveling around the world, and I saw that they spend over 300 days in airports and in other cities that they're not living in, preaching and spreading the gospel at 84 years of age. The other one is 86, I believe, and has built three of the greatest churches in America and is still headlining conferences, still preaching, still spreading the gospel. And I'm thinking, man, at 84 and 86, I've got the next 40 years to still possess, to still gain ground. And so it encouraged me as I began to prepare this series for what God is going to do. And I want to reiterate, if you've been living for God for a few days or weeks or months, there is a lot of living ahead of you for Jesus. There's a lot of purpose ahead of you in Jesus. There's a lot of land to possess in Jesus' name. But I do want to encourage those of you that are sitting here today that have been living with God, for God for a long time, and maybe you're 50, 60, 70 years of age, if you are still breathing, God is still working and has a plan for your life. Because I believe when you complete your calling and you finish your task and assignment and your creative God-given purpose, I think that is when you are promoted to heaven. But if you are waking up on this earth, God is not done with you yet. He's got a lot for you, but I believe he's got a lot for you to do in Jesus' name. So in this series, we're going to break down four key areas. We're going to identify what ground is yours. Some of us have not possessed it because we don't know it's ours. God gave the land before they took the land. Come on, somebody. God gave the land before they took possession of the land. So I want to help every believer in the room and online identify what Jesus came to this earth to die so that you and I might have access to it. Number two, we're going to know the giant, or know that giants occupy the land God has promised. Some of us think that because it is promised by God and given by God, that we are not going to have to fight for it. But you can't avoid this fight. If you want to possess the good things of God, you are going to have to fight for those things. You are going to have to wake up knowing that there's a devil that hates you and wants to trip you up, but there is a God that loves you, that wants to help you avoid every enemy, but also there's some Goliaths in the valley that on the way to your next mountaintop, you are going to have to put them on their back. Then we're going to make sure that everyone understands that you're not just taking ground for you. You're taking ground for your family. This is what we call a generational faith. I was challenged, and it wasn't even a Christian author. It was a business book that I've been reading. And this man, I don't think he knows Jesus, but he was challenging, and he was really condemning those that are living less than lives. He said, it is your responsibility for your spouse and the children and the community you live in to live the best version of your life. Well, can I take it beyond that? Because Jesus died to make sure that we have life and life in abundance. But can I encourage you that it's not just you that God wants to do that in? It's every person you're connected to, your spouse, your children. It is a transgenerational faith. And finally, we're going to jump into the topic of possession takes continual possessing. When you get there, you can't just, I made it. Whatever you got to fight to get, you're going to have to fight to keep in the name of Jesus. When we say possess, we mean a lot of things. We mean to seize. We mean to take, to gain, to obtain. It means to win, to conquer, to occupy, to hold, to carry, to own. Can I just declare and prophesy in Jesus' name that you're going to take ownership of some things that you have never had before this year? Can I bring it into this month, in February, in the next 13 days, that you are going to take ownership of some things that you have not yet held in your hands? You're going to see things in your family that you've been praying for. You're going to see things in your children that you've been praying for. It is time that we take ownership. I bought some property, and I love when I'm able to get new things, but there's nothing like when you buy that new property or you buy that new car and you finally get the keys. One of the worst things in the world is to go to a dealership late at night after half of the staff has left, and you close the deal at 9 or 9:30 at night, and they tell you, hey, we'll have your car ready for you in the morning. No, I signed the papers tonight. I want the keys tonight. I'm not waiting. Can I encourage somebody? And I just feel it in my spirit tonight. Waiting season is over. It is walking season now. It is time to walk into what God has promised. It is time to walk into what God has put in front of you. The waiting season is coming to an end. If you believe that, put both hands up in the air and say, Jesus, I receive that word for me and my house. Oh, that's good. Waiting season is over. It is walking season. Possess means to get your hands on it. So now it's not just here. It's not just here. It is here in the name of Jesus. There are some people that have faithfully been praying for years. And can I tell you that this is that time when your prayers are actually going to produce the reality that God has said you can have, to get your hands on it or to get a hold of it. It has seemed elusive, but here in February of 23, you're going to get your hands on it and you are going to hold it. I am talking to believers in the room and online today that we must quit talking about it and we have to start being about it. We've got to quit talking about the miracles of yesterday and we've got to start talking about what God is doing today. I love the miracles that we are able to rehearse. I love talking about in the 1980s, the blinded woman that got her sight when she came out of the water in the old building. But can I tell you, it's been too long. I need somebody to go down in this water, in this baptistry blind, but come out with their eyes open. I am tired of rehearsing only what God has done and only talking about what God is going to do. I want it right now. Have you seen the commercial? It's my money, and I want it now. It's my mountain, and I want it now. now. It's my blessing and I want it now. It's what God died to give me and I want it now. I don't have to wait till heaven for the blessing. I can walk in the favor of God. And that favor might not be something you can hold. Maybe it's favor in your mind, in your spirit, in your marriage, in your family, but I want it now. No more just talking about it. Let's start being about it. It does good when you rehearse what God has done, but can I tell you that your rehearsing of what God has done works better when you can tell your coworker, listen to what God did last Sunday, not listen to what God did last century. Come on, somebody. Can I tell you what God did last night at midweek service? Not what God did in the book of Acts. Not what God did in the old building. Can I tell you what God did not 12 hours ago? It is time to possess it, church. Matthew 11:12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Some of you are waiting for the devil to give it back. The devil's not going to give it back. You're going to have to go take it back. We used to sing an old song, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Then we sang a song a few years later that said, I want it all back. You are not going to sit here on a Wednesday night and have every good thing dumped into your lap. You are going to have to walk in faith, live in faith. You are going to have to become an Abraham of your generation. You're going to have to walk it into being. You're going to have to become a David of your generation. You're going to have to praise it into being. I'm here to tell you, possession doesn't just happen. You're going to have to get up and put some feet to your faith in Jesus' name. We get violent about everything else. We've seen people get violent about their pronouns. We've seen people get violent about their political issues. We've seen people get violent over race. We've seen people get violent. Philadelphia was burning police cars again because they lost on Sunday night. We've seen people get violent over sports. I'm not telling you to get physically violent, but I'm telling you there should be a spiritual violence where enough is enough. I'm tired of living less than. I'm tired of living like a third-rate citizen in the country that God has blessed me with, in the season that God has blessed me with. And so the violent don't wait for it. We get up and we take it. I don't like going to homes that I've never been to before because I never know what their rules are. I've been to homes that made me take off my shoes. I don't like that because I didn't plan my sock day for times I was going to have to take off my shoes. Have you ever been to a house that you knew was dirtier than yours and you wear your shoes everywhere in your house, but for some reason they're making you take off your shoes in their house, but it's their house? I never like going to someone's house when I'm a guest and I've never been there before because I feel like it's a little too much for me to ask for a glass of sweet tea or a Dr. Pepper or a sandwich or a ribeye. Come on, somebody. But when I love going to people's houses that I know, and I remember what it was like the first time I went to Pastor Mandy's house, and it was our first date and I was on my best behavior. Come on now. And I remember what it was like to be a guest. I remember the first time I had dinner at my in-laws' house. I don't think they're here tonight, but they might be watching online. Just turn down the volume for the next 45 seconds. I remember when I went to their house for the first time to eat dinner. And my mother-in-law said, how do you like your steak? To which I said, medium well. When she laid out that steak in front of me, it was two Band-Aids away from being up, mooing, eating in the pasture. I cut into that thing, and I swear I heard a... But you know what I did? I choked down every piece of that steak. How you like it? Oh, it's the best cow that I've ever had. You want me to put it back on? Oh, no, this is exactly how I like it. Now, the running joke 20 years later is when she invites me over to her house for dinner. My mother-in-law says, would you like to come over? I said, as long as you're not making steaks, I'm there. But now, because I am not just a guest in the house, come on. Now that I'm a family member, I can get up. I don't knock on the door. I just open the door, praise God. I don't ask for a sweet tea. I just go to the refrigerator and see what they have. Can I encourage every believer, quit acting like you are a guest in the kingdom. You are a son of God and a daughter of God. You are an ambassador of Jesus Christ, which means you should be living the best, walking the best, talking the best, because you represent Jesus Christ. Some of us have been tiptoeing around in our prayers. Quit tiptoeing and start possessing. You are a son. You are a daughter. Open up the kingdom. God is waiting on people to take what he died to give. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, take it. So when we talk about possess, we talk about all of these: to gain, to obtain, to acquire, to hold, to carry, to get your hands on, to own. But let's talk about the other meaning of possess, because it is a word that carries significant meanings that are very different, because possess also means to control. It means to dominate, to take over. When we talk about this word possessed, we're talking about when people are possessed by a spirit. Whatever spirit possesses you, owns you. That's why it shouldn't be, do I have to receive the Holy Spirit? It's how fast can I get the Holy Spirit? Because I want to be so full of the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead that when I walk through HEB, that no other spirit can come into me, because I've got such a greater spirit moving around inside of me that there is no room for another spirit. So can I encourage you that when we talk about possession, whatever possesses does the controlling. So I want to encourage you with two statements tonight. Number one, if you are going to possess what God has called you to possess, you are going to have to be possessed by his spirit alone. You can't live one foot in the world and one foot in the church. You can't be quoting on Wednesday and cussing on Thursday. You can't have a wandering eye on Friday and then be focused on Sunday. It is all in. It is 100%. It is all of him or none of him. I want to be possessed by his spirit, because when I'm possessed by his spirit now controls me, which means when I walk, see, it's not your foot that gets the possession. It's not your strength and my strength that gets the possession. But when I take a step, you remember the account in the Word of God that when the lepers began to walk, that the Bible, he expounded every step, and it sounded like an army, a nation was coming, and it scared all of the soldiers. Can I just encourage you that my step is quiet? My step doesn't mean much. However, when I get possessed by the Spirit of God and I get ready to possess the things of God, every time I put a foot down, God magnifies my footstep and the echo of my step, not because of me, but greater is he that is in me, in you, than he that is in the world. To control, to dominate, to take over. Remember, whoever does the possessing does the controlling. If you want to control your life, you are going to have to allow the Spirit of God to control you. When we say mountain, we're not talking about physical mountains. Maybe we are talking about land, a house, a building, but most likely your mountain is spiritual. Your mountain is familial. It's relational. It's tangible. Your mountain might be financial tonight. It might be ministerial tonight. Your mountain is probably not rock and soil. Your mountain is probably not, does not have a geographical location, but your mountain today is the promise of God that you have not yet put your foot on or your hand on. And I want to encourage the Calebs in the room tonight that it is time for you to get the mountain that God promised you. And this is what he was saying in Joshua chapter 14. He said, give me the mountain. Don't you remember what God spoke to the men of God, to people like Moses? Joshua, don't you remember what God said was mine? He was reminding him of the promise. I want to remind you of your promise tonight so that you can remind every devil in hell of your promise tomorrow. I want to remind you of the promise of God on Sundays and Wednesdays so that you can remind yourself of the promise of God Monday through Saturday. I want to remind you of the promise of God whenever you step on this campus so that the next time you're sitting in a doctor's office, a lawyer's office, the next time you're at a family reunion and they try to tell you no, you are reminded that, listen, there's still some mountains that I have not possessed, and you cannot talk me out of what God is talking me into. I do know this, you will never possess, listen to this, write this down, you will never possess what you cannot pronounce. Some of us are just saying, God, and I haven't said this in a while, we have a lot of new people coming to Living Way, so let me just express this. When you come to this altar, when you pray on a Monday or a Thursday afternoon, you need to be very specific with your expectations on what you want God to do. Better than being specific is actually praying the word of God, the promise of God that you are wanting to see in your life. Because the word, his word, cannot return void. Yours and my word carries no weight. But when we echo what God has said, it now begins to do things in our lives. And so I want to encourage you, when you pray, you've got to get specific. When you come to an altar and one of our prayer workers says, what are you down here for? And you just say, I don't know, I just felt like coming. Well, number one, the Spirit of God is what drew you out of your seat to an altar. The Spirit of God is what caused you on a Tuesday afternoon to stop what you were doing to pray for 5 minutes. If the Spirit of God is enticing and convicting you to pray or to come to an altar, then you need to lean into what the Spirit of God is saying, because the Spirit of God is saying, I'm not just taking you to the altar just for some crazy reason. I'm taking you down there for a specific reason, and you better make sure that you know what that reason is why you're down there so you can grab hold of it, meaning this, you will never possess it until you can pronounce it. Some of us are not living the promise of God because we still don't know that that promise exists. I'm going somewhere with this, and we're going to end with a point that I've never heard anyone preach before that I'm so excited to share with you tonight. But let me give you this illustration first. For those of you that don't know, the little blonde girl that jumps up and down all the time up here, that's my daughter, Jaden. Jaden is 16 years old. She is very talented. She has a great work ethic. She is an all-star daughter. I love her with all of my heart. But her testimony, part of her testimony is, and you can see why the devil was fighting so hard now that you see her gift, is she didn't talk until she was almost 4 years old. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but if your name is Fender, you talk. You might talk through song. You might talk through a microphone, but you are going to talk. She didn't talk until she was almost 4 years old. Now, she made audible noises, but it sounded like she was speaking in tongues from the time she started talking. And she would be speaking this gibberish all the time. Now, she would come to Mandy and I, and she would be saying something that we did not understand. Now, check this out, and I want you to look through the spiritual lens of this church. She would get frustrated when she knew what she wanted and she was talking to the Father, but the Father could not understand what she was saying, she would get frustrated, then I would get frustrated, and we were all frustrated until Tyler walked in, because Tyler could talk Jadenese. And Jaden would come in, and she had them platinum blonde curls at the time, and she'd be like, and I'm looking at her like, pointing at things. This. Tyler would say, Dad, she wants some apple juice. Oh, okay. She needed a helper that was able to say what she didn't know how to say. I'm talking to somebody today. And then as the father, I said, all you had to do was ask that. Now that I know that you know what you need, I will give it to you. Can I just encourage you? Remember, your step means nothing if it's void of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said, hey, don't worry. When I ascend, I'm going to leave you a helper, a comforter. And so when I don't know what to say, what do? I start speaking in tongues. Because when I start speaking in tongues, that is my helper. And my helper is saying, hey, God, Brandon really don't know about this mountain, but he's speaking in tongues. And I'm going to tell you, this is what he needs. This is what he needs now so that he can step into that next and get to that mountain. That's why you need the helper. You've got to be able to pronounce it, to possess it. If you're going to possess it, you have to be able to pronounce it. You have to know it before you can say it. You have to say it before you can see it. There's a lot to be said, and I'll just take 30 seconds to help somebody tonight with this, about manifesting. Manifesting outside of Christ is the occult. It got real quiet. Vision boards, manifesting, if I just think about it hard enough, if I say it 10 times in the mirror when I'm brushing my teeth and getting ready, it's going to happen. None of that happens outside of Christ. But Hebrews tells us that we as faith men, because it was referring to Abraham, we as faith people can call those things that are not as though they are. How can an 85-year-old man, wrinkly, probably most people are saying his best days are behind him, but he stood and he said, I remember what was promised. And he said, that mountain is already mine. I want you to give me that mountain. Well, you're 85. God knew how old I was going to be when he gave me the mountain. He did not discredit me or disqualify me because of my age. Can I talk to somebody who feels like your best days are behind you? God knew how old you would be on February 15, 2023. God is not surprised by your age. God is not surprised by the season that you're in. God is not surprised by the lack of ability you have concerning certain issues and certain areas. God is looking for a Caleb to say, when I look in the mirror, I don't see it. But evidently, God sees something in me, because years ago, he promised me that mountain. Now, Joshua, I was in that valley with you when we saw this place. Give me my mountain. Give me my mountain. In closing, let me share this. You got to identify what ground is yours. Identify what ground is yours. Some things you are never supposed to possess. It's not yours. Quit trying to get it. If he's married, he's not your husband. If she's married, she's not your wife. You've got to understand what ground is yours and what ground is not. Bishop tells the story of his brother, my uncle, who when my grandfather left town for a while, he was on engineer on the New York Central Railroad, and so he left town for weeks at a time, and he told my dad's older brother, he said, now listen, he said, you need to go down to that field, and that field we're leasing, and you need to plant this and disc it and get it ready and all that kind of stuff. And my uncle went to the wrong field, and he worked in the wrong field, and he sowed in the wrong field. And let me tell you something, when you sow in the wrong field, it doesn't mean the seed doesn't grow. It just means that you don't get to eat the fruit. Oh, I wish somebody would hear that tonight. Sowing seed in the wrong field doesn't mean it doesn't work. It means that you just don't get to be a part of the harvest. My grandfather comes home, goes by the field that he was supposed to sow and work, and saw that field dead, looked across the road. Now, I'm going to tell you, the neighbor that my uncle sowed and produced a harvest for, that neighbor didn't give any of that harvest to my grandfather or my father or my uncle. He just said, thank you very much. Your mistake is now my harvest. You've got to identify what ground you need to sow into and what ground is going to be yours. Life is too short to waste seed. Life is too short to waste time. Life is too short to waste relationships. Can I just spend 60 seconds here and say, quit dating if you're not ready to get married? Why? You're sowing into someone else's husband. You're sowing into someone else's wife. You better know who God has called you to, where God has called you to, when God has called you to. Why? You got to know what ground is yours. What happens if you are focused on the wrong mountain? You pray prayers that never need to be prayed. You're working towards something that God said, that's not even yours. He said, turn around, there's a mountain twice as big behind you. And you're concerned with this mountain over here. I love what I'm about to share with you tonight. Joshua chapter 14, verse 12. Caleb says, now therefore, give me this mountain. I'll be done in 2 minutes. Said, give me this mountain. I'm going to stop right there. When you break down, because he describes what mountain it is when he talks about the Anakims. The King James Version is the only version that says, give me this mountain. Because when you break down the word mountain in the Greek and in the Hebrew, it translates to this. Give me the hill country. Check this out now. This means something to us because we live on the gateway of the hill country. Some of us are saying, give me New Braunfels. And God is saying, why take New Braunfels when I've given you Bernie, Fredericksburg, Kerrville, oh, don't miss it. Some of us are asking for a mountain, and God has given us a mountain chain. And we are so focused on the beginning of the mountain chain. Give me this mountain, and God's saying there's so much more to be had. So much more out there. Give me the hill country. You're talking one plot of land, God said. I'm talking about counties. God pricked my heart this week when I said, God, all of San Antonio. God said, San Antonio. He said, all of South Texas. Said, you're talking San Antonio. He said, I'm talking Bear County. He said, I'm talking Atascosa County. I'm talking Wilson County. I'm talking Living Way is not going to have a Live Oak reach. We're going to have a world reach. Can I encourage you? It's not just your son, but your son, your daughter, your sons and daughters, sons and daughters. It's going to be, listen, your stepsons, your stepdaughters. Can I go even beyond that? It's going to be your son's friends and your son's other friends. It's going to not just be your son, it's going to be his whole classroom and football team. Can I encourage you? You've been talking, God, I just need a job. Oh, that's a mountain. God, I need a job that is going to set me up for generational wealth so I don't have to worry about money and I can, Lord, concern myself with the kingdom of God. You have asked for too little. You have put God in a box. And when I tell you it's time to possess and take the ground that God has promised you, it is not just what's in front of you, but what's on the other side of the mountain that you're asking for is another mountain and another mountain and another mountain. And every time you go, Pat, you get to a bigger mountain and a bigger mountain. Stand on your feet. We've always quoted this, give me my mountain. Brother White, we've always talked about it like there was 12 mountains for each one, for each tribe. They keep talking about our world becoming overpopulated. Can I just ease your conscience? That will never be any of our problems. Because you drive 30 minutes one direction from where we are tonight and you will be out in the middle of nowhere. Me and Mario were looking for men's retreat camps. There's still places within 25 miles of here that have zero cell service. I'm talking about no bars. It just says, hey, you can't make a call anymore. Good luck. A lot of times, and I want to get into next couple weeks, but a lot of times too, we say, well, if I take too many mountains, what's everybody else going to do? Not your concern. There's so many people that aren't possessing. I'll take mine and theirs. That's all right. You could just watch me collect mountains. Give me this mountain. Oh, you don't want yours? Give me that mountain. I love that Jade and Mandy don't eat a lot. Because I know what I order, I eat. You ain't going to eat that? I'll eat that too. It's okay to be greedy for God. I want more of you, Jesus. More of you, Jesus. This dear sister has broken the ice, but there are another 2, 3, 4 dozen people. I believe there's 50 people that have been talking the talk, but now it's time to put some feet to your faith. It's time to possess. It's time to lay claim. It's time to own. It's time. Some of you have been leasing in the spiritual realm. It's time to own. It's time to take ownership. Time to get your hands involved with it. Time to live in the middle of it. No more just talking about what he's going to do. But God, like Caleb, give me this mountain. God, when I look on the other side, give me that one too. God, save my family. But God, save my neighbors too. There's another mountain. Save my boss and his family. There's another mountain. God, heal my friend from cancer. But God, while I'm here praying for them, God, can I just pray for the complete stranger across the hall? Lord, heal their cancer too. There's another mountain. God, just heal the whole floor. Let's empty this cancer ward. Man, I just wish I could find one believer at my school. That's one mountain. Let's get your whole football team saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's let that entire freshman class get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. You say, that's crazy talk. No, that's Caleb talk. Give me the hill country. Not one. But God, there's so much. Remember, we're not talking about stuff. We're talking about the promises of God. There is no promise without the promise keeper. First and foremost, church, in my closing, you need Jesus. Without Jesus, there is no promise. You're living by happenstance and coincidence. But I believe once you say yes to Jesus, every step is ordered in Jesus' name. The Spirit of God that raised him from the dead, I believe it dwells on you, but I believe through the power of the Holy Ghost, it can come into you and transform your life. This altar is filled, half full, but I believe there's another 12, 15, 18 people in this room that you have not held what God has promised. You have not seen what you prayed about. This is your moment. And I'm going to encourage you, take 40 steps. 40 steps is going to encourage your faith tonight. Let us pray with you. Let us add our faith to what you're going through. Let us add our faith to what you have. And let's see God work a miracle tonight. If you're in the room online, if you don't know Jesus, this is your moment. If you're in the room, you can come down and stand right here. My friend, Brother Charlie's going to help you get in position. Our team's going to pray for you. If you're watching online, you call on the name of the Lord. Repent of your sin. Jesus is going to forgive you. Claim him as the only way to get to heaven, the Son of God, the way, the truth, the life.